Today on Life Talk.
What made David who he ultimately became? The mighty king of Israel, the giant killer, the warrior, the inspiration for a nation. What made him what he ultimately became was not developed in the fanfare of the palace, but in the isolation and loneliness of a pasture.
You're listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. It's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and hear about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's exactly what we're going to hear from Pastor Jeff today. You may be stuck in traffic or even stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help you get on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. And if for any reason you have to break away before the end of the program, you can always catch it at our website. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. So let's go ahead and get right into today's message. Here's Pastor Jeff to set it up for us.
One of the real tests of a wilderness experience is the test of loneliness. We're told that when Jesus was in the wilderness, he was alone. The Bible tells us that the wild beasts were there in Jesus' wilderness experience as if to highlight the lonely solitude he was in. No one was there to help Jesus in his battle with Satan's temptations. He faced the enemy alone. This is a type and picture of how we too can sometimes feel that though surrounded by people, we are facing a battle, a test, and a trial on the backside of a lonely wilderness experience. You know, David also faced a charging lion and a roaring bear in the wilderness all alone but for a few sheep. Today we're going to look at how to deal with loneliness in our own wilderness experiences. I believe today's word is going to be a real encouragement for you. So let's go right to today's message, the wilderness of loneliness.
I want you to notice that Jesus went through a wilderness. Now, having gone through a wilderness, he was our role model. He's our example. And what Jesus experienced, we will also experience. Doesn't it say that in all points he was tempted like we are, yet he did not sin? So he went driven into the wilderness by the Spirit, but he came out of the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. So something happened to Jesus in that wilderness experience that increased the anointing on his life, enhanced the power on his life, and he came out of the wilderness and began his ministry. There's a paradox at work here when you talk about loneliness, because we live on a lonely planet. There are many people who are lonely, but you got to ask yourself, how could that be? Because our world, for the first time in history, is more connected than it's ever been. And yet studies have shown that people are feeling lonelier than ever. The instances of people claiming loneliness and alienation to counselors and psychologists is greater than ever. Many of our young people all across the nation, we're in a suicide epidemic with teenagers. I want to just tell you something today from my heart. God loves you more than you will ever know. He loves you more than I can enunciate, more than I can say, more than I can find the words to communicate to you. God loves you so much that he allowed his only begotten son to hang on a cross and die a criminal's death so he could cover your sins and rise from the dead so that you could also be raised from the dead. And I read this week that the day is coming when all of us who have put our faith in him are going to hear the voice of the Son of God, and we are going to be brought out of the grave into the glorious resurrection life of Christ. That's how much God loves you. He loves you. And he's not being mean, he's not being unfair, he's not being insensitive to your needs. He's not off flinging other stars into space, he's not busy answering the prayers of other more important saints. No, he's totally focused on you. You are God's project right now. He's wanting to build some things into your faith and character that are going to serve you in the days to come. As he told Israel, I led you through all these wilderness experiences to do you good in the end. To do you good. Now, as I talk about loneliness, I'm not going to give you a theologized solution to your loneliness by offering silly, cheap, little, shallow, charismatic, quip responses to you. Like, Well, just praise the Lord. You ever want to slap somebody that just told you, well, just praise the Lord? Or how about, well, have stronger faith. And you want to say, hey, my faith is strong and it's stretched to the limit. Don't tell me to have more faith. Or how about this one? Change your confession. How many of you have realized that sometimes deeper things are going on than just a simple little charismatic formula can help you with? Amen? I want to give you some things that I know are real and will help carry you through the wilderness of loneliness or whatever the wilderness is you're in right now. It's dry. It's difficult. You don't know where to turn, where to go. You've got questions. You've got unanswered needs. You're being pressed to the limit. It seems like everybody around you is being blessed but you. It seems like God's not hearing you and you can't touch him, even though I know he's there. It's a wilderness. I want to give you some things that are real that will help you through. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to focus on loneliness itself, because I could talk about loneliness where all of us are going to leave feeling lonelier than when we came in. I want to encourage you with one simple statement. And here it is. In your loneliness, God is at work in you. Now, I want us to say that together, because some of us need to preach ourselves up. Are you ready? Say with me, in my loneliness, God is at work in me. In my wilderness, God is at work in me. Now give the Lord a hand of praise, because he is. I know he is. See, I can go through anything if I know that God's working. I can go through any valley, any oven, any difficulty, any trial, any testing. If I can see God's hand, I can go through anything. So in your loneliness, God is at work in you. Here's the verse. It is God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It is God at work in you. God is working in you. You may not feel it. You may not sense it. You may not know it. You may not be aware of it. But God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now, thinking of that little phrase, God's at work in you in your loneliness, I want to talk about David for a minute. David, the poet, the psalmist, the musician, the warrior, the king, the man after God's own heart. That's David. Now, what made David who he ultimately became, the mighty king of Israel, the giant killer, the warrior, the inspiration for a nation? What made him what he ultimately became was not developed in the fanfare of the palace, but in the isolation and loneliness of a pasture. I'm going to talk about the lonely days of David. Gene Edwards, in his classic book, A Tale of Three Kings, that everybody ought to read, speaks of the isolation of David. He says, David was the youngest son, and the youngest child generally had two distinctions, spoiled and uninformed. In David's day, very little would have been expected of him. He displays fewer characteristics of leadership than his brothers because he never had to lead, because he was number 8 of 8 boys. So David was the runt of the litter. And there wasn't anybody that came up after him, so there was nobody to lead. So all he saw was 7 brothers who were leaders, but he was never forced to lead or needed to lead because there was nobody to lead. Now his 7 older sons or brothers worked near and on the father's farm, but not David. David, the youngest, was sent on treks into the mountains to graze the family's small flock of sheep. He was a teenage shepherd. And every day, David would leave home. Picture your little boy or little girl going off to school carrying that sack lunch. David carried something when he left every day to go to the pasture and shepherd the sheep. He carried a little guitar-like instrument. You could call it a harp. You could call it a guitar. For our sake today, we'll call it a guitar. Carrying a little guitar and a sling. And with those two things, he walked out the door. See you, Dad. See you, bros. I'm going to shepherd the sheep. And he would go. Now, when he went, way out into the wilderness. It was lonely. It was alone. It was isolated. And spare time for a shepherd was abundant. The sheep would graze for days in the green meadow. And as days became weeks, David became very lonely. Do you know what it would be like to be a teenager full of energy? Man, there's nobody to hang around with, no place to do, no girlfriends, no nothing, no Xbox, no social media, no computer, no TV, no basketball court. And do you know that watching Sheep eat grass all day, every day, day in and day out is about as exciting as watching paint dry. So there he is out there. He's gifted. He's smart. He's full of energy, but he's isolated. He's alone. No one's around him. Nobody's there. He became lonely. Friendlessness, the feeling of it, rose up within him. I really do believe knowing people, shooting honestly about it, there were likely times that David literally wept from isolation. Is this what my life is all about as a teenager, 15, 16, 17 years old? I'm watching these sheep eat day in and day out. I'm sleeping under the stars at night. Nobody's around, nobody to talk to, nobody to share with. I am lonely. How has God brought this about in my life? Now, I look at David's life and I see three things that God worked into him in those lonely years. And I want you to be inspired today. I want you to think. I want you to consider. And I want you to receive that the three things that he worked into David's life is what he wants to work into yours. Because maybe you're feeling isolated and lonely. Well, then listen up. The first thing that God worked into him, oh, and was he going to need it, was his worship ministry. His worship ministry. In his boredom, you know, David's watching the sheep, they're eating. Wow, exciting. What can I do? So he picks up his guitar, and he begins to play his harp or his guitar to pass the hours. And as the playing improved, he added singing. He began to sing. And his voice changed over the years, got stronger, got deeper. At night when all the sheep lay sleeping and he sat staring at the dying fire, he would strum upon his harp and break into quiet song. He sang the ancient hymns of his forefathers, and then he began to make up some of his own, and we call them psalms. And while he sang, he wept, and while he wept, he praised. As one commentator put it, the distant mountains lifted up his praise and tears, passing them on to the next mountains, and so on until they eventually reached the ears of God. From this time of lonely isolation came psalms like, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Each and every day I know he's restoring my soul," came a song out of isolation. And then at night he would lay down and look up at the starry sky, that incredible constellation of stars. And he would lay there while the sheep slept, and you could hear maybe some hoot owls and some crickets chirping. And he looked up and he thought, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." You know what? Day unto day they utter speech, and night after night they are showing knowledge. They are teaching me. And he wrote it down and it became a psalm. And you know what happened in his loneliness and isolation? David's worship ministry, what we know him for, the worshiper of Israel, that worship ministry was launched and birthed in the womb of isolation and loneliness. He could have gotten a chip on his shoulder and said, "Well, this is what God's going to do to me. I can't wait till I'm 18 so I can get out of this shepherding." Nope. He said, "I'm going to learn to worship God." And God worked into his heart the spirit of a worshiper. Instead of getting angry, he just put on his praise.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, lifetalkradio.us. You'll find today's program right there in the listen page, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's also a link to a complete station list that shows all of the stations Life Talk is on across the country, so you can let your friends and family know how they can listen to Life Talk as well. There's also a partner link for you to be able to support this program with your generous gifts. So check it out, lifetalkradio.us. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
When was the last time you praised God when you were lonely? How many people would faint around you if you were to praise God in a tough time? See, God wants us to learn, when you're going through the tough times, that's when tough people get tougher. That is when you look up and you do put on your praise and you praise God. No matter what people think, you praise God. Let the devil in hell know that no matter what happens to you, you're going to praise God. That he can't take your praise away from you. Would you believe me if I told you Satan's after your praise, your worship? He wants to take the joy of the Lord out of your life. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we receive his joy when we praise. Come on, church. Now, second thing God wove into the fabric of David's faith during these lonely seasons, not just his worship ministry, but his warfare ministry. Oh, I love this, his warfare ministry. When playing and singing failed to comfort him or take up the time, he turned to a popular pastime of his day, and that was a sling and a stone. And that's what they did in his day. Instead of shooting rifles, they had slings. And these men were so accurate with slings, they could knock a leaf off a tree from many, many yards away. They were so good at it, hair-like precision with a sling. So David began to just practice that sling. I can envision the young shepherd boys. He gathered a pile of stones and one by one placed them in a sling, twirled it overhead, and aimed for a leaf hanging off the tree. And at first he missed, but then he got closer, and then he got closer, and then he began to hit it every single time, just a little leaf on a tree. He could aim and hit it and shave it right off that tree. He said, man, I'm getting good at this. And when the rock pile was depleted, he'd walk to the blistered tree, regather the rocks, and fire away at another leafy enemy at yet a farther distance. And I'm going to guarantee you, David had many victories over many trees. But see, God never wastes time. He never wastes what's going on in your life. When you're not even aware of it, he is training you and preparing you for the next step, the next level, the next day, the next challenge. And we know this from David because one day he heard the panic bleating of one of his sheep and he turned. And there it was, brown lightning on mighty furry legs charging at him with deadly intent, a ferocious bear. And leaning on what he had learned, he grabbed a smooth rock from the pouch. He placed it in the sling. He began to sling it around. He fired it with deadly accuracy, hit the bear right in the head. The bear went down. And listen, when that bear went down, David stepped back and said to himself in the solitude of that lonely place, wow, I can bring down a giant when God's with me. I can bring down a giant. Because when I did that, someone else grabbed hold of my hand. And I'm learning in the shadows when nobody is looking, when I'm alone and isolated, I'm learning how to bring down what is stronger than me, more powerful than me, mightier than me, not by might and not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. I'm learning spiritual warfare. Then you know the rest of the story. The day came when the young shepherd walked onto a battle scene and there stood a giant called Goliath who was mocking the armies of Israel and blaspheming his God, and his blood rushed up into his face and he said, how dare you talk about my God that way? How dare you talk about my Savior that way? And he said to Saul, let me at him. I don't need your armor. All I need is a sling and a stone. And Saul, ever courageous, ever willing to let somebody else fight the battle, King Saul said, you go for it, kid. And David walked out there and said, I bring you down in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he took a rock and put it in that sling and slung it while the giant was mocking and ridiculing and making fun of him and pointing at him and saying, is this the best you've got to send me? And that was about all he got out. Thunk! And down went the giant. I can bring down giants when God is with me. And that's what he was learning in the shadows. In loneliness and isolation. Do you see how one thing led to another in God's preparation of David? Because you know, and I know, that God, knowing everything and knowing the end from the beginning, saw the day when this young shepherd boy would face this giant and bring him down. So he moved on him without him even knowing it to pick up that sling and pick up that stone and get good at it. And then he let him fight the bear and fight the lion. And some of you are fighting a bear in your life and a lion in your life. It's in the shadows. Nobody knows the temptation you're facing. Nobody knows the battle that you're experiencing in the theater of your mind, but God sees it, and God has put a sling in your hand and a stone in your hand. It's called faith and the word of God, and he wants you to bring that giant down when nobody's looking, because a greater day is coming. Don't we need some giants, church? Oh, if there was ever a day, when I look out at you, I see the answer for America. I don't see it in who the next president is. I don't see it in who the next Senate is. Lord, if you haven't given up on politicians by now, you need an awakening. The answer is not in a politician. It is in believers who have fought the devil in the shadows and have slain the lion and defeated the bear. And they are ready to stand up against the Goliaths in the limelight. His worship ministry was birthed. His warfare ministry was cultivated and honed and sharpened. The last thing, he became wild about God. I love that. He became wild about God. I like people who are crazy, wild, slap happy in love with Jesus. Have you ever noticed they make religious people real nervous? Because religious people are, oh, praise the Lord. We need to pray. Oh, thou heavenly Father. And here comes the wild about God. Oh, Lord, break loose on us in Jesus' name. It always makes the religious people retreat. Oh, you go to one of those churches where they're kind of wild about God. Yes, give me a church wild about God. Give me a church wild about Jesus. God didn't get to know David in the palace. He got to know him in the pasture. In the lonely solitude of the Judean wilderness, as he worshiped God into the night and pondered the profundities of the Word of God, David became that man after God's own heart. Christianity is not an intellectual assent to a set of truths. Christianity is a living, vital, pulsating, real relationship with a Savior. So in the lonely seasons of David's life, his worship ministry, his warfare ministry, and a deeper love for God were all honed and sharpened and perfected. So what some of you see as an end because you're lonely, God sees as a beginning. Think about Peter. Peter thought it was over after he denied Jesus. He walked off in solitude, went back to fishing, walked away from Jerusalem where the action was. But Jesus had a different view of Peter. His perspective was, it's in this lonely time, I'm preparing you for Pentecost. In the midnight of his life, when Peter was isolated and alone, Jesus was working some pride out, some arrogance out, some selfishness out. And when he was brought out of isolation, he was also being brought out of preparation. Listen, your destiny is greater than your dilemma. I like what the old preacher said. If you ain't got no dilemma, you ain't got no destiny. Now that's bad English, but it's good preaching. I'm going to tell you, if you ain't got no dilemma, then you ain't got no destiny. Translated, God allows us to go through the tough times so that he can do these things, put worship and warfare and deeper love for him into our spirits for the day of warfare and the day of victory. So your dilemma is there because you've got a destiny in God. When you're isolated, lonely, and discouraged, you need to recognize what's happening. God has set you apart to perfect the tools of worship, warfare, and relationship with God that you're going to need for your destination. So instead of pouting, pray. Instead of whining, worship. Instead of wringing your hands, read your Bible. Bad things aren't the only things that happen in the midnight hour. Good things happen. Paul and Silas got thrown in jail for something they didn't do. They sang in the midnight hour, and the original jailhouse rock happened at midnight. When Saul called for David to play the harp to soothe his spirit, he didn't realize that long before he played for the king, he had played for the King of Kings. Before the kingdom of Israel knew his name, the kingdom of God knew all about him. Does the kingdom of God know about you? Before the kingdom of Israel sang David's praises in the streets, David sang God's praises in the meadows. Years before David defeated Goliath, he was defeating trees and targets and leaves and lions and bears in lonely desolation. What do you think gave David the faith to defeat that giant? It was the time he spent in lonely isolation. He told Saul, God gave me a bear and God gave me a lion. He's going to give me this giant. You're wondering why you are where you are. It's so that you can be prepared for the day that's coming.
You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. It would mean the world to us to know how the program has helped you today. So take a quick minute and give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can connect with us at our website, lifetalkradio.us. And if you enjoy the program as much as we love bringing it to you, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. There are daily costs associated with the program, and we truly do depend on the faithful financial support of our listeners, like you, to allow us to be on this station. So please consider partnering with us today with your gifts to this ministry. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out to people everywhere. You can call us at 877-884-3111 or go to our website, lifetalkradio.us, and click on the Partner tab at the top of the homepage. Again, call 877-884-3111 or at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Thank you for your loyal partnership. Finally, Pastor Jeff is the founder and senior pastor of the vibrant Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're ever in the area, we hope you'll stop by and say hi and let us know that you listen to the program. Pastor Jeff would love to meet you personally, too. So till next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Life Talk.